Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To the parking hours. Currently, all parking zones, with the exception of the Jefferson Street Garage, are on an 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Paid parking basis, Monday through Saturday. Our recommendation is to extend that to midnight for all zones that are currently at 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
So this is Philip Olivier, who is the parking consultant that we hired from the Red Lot people. Like, he left the Red Lot people to come work as a, I don't know, secret agent, so to speak. You know, like a guy who really understood the Red Lot market and also parking downtown. And, you know, DC Reeves hired him to be a consultant to come produce a report to study parking, to figure out what's going on, to figure out how it might be changed in order to make it more in line with the principles of, you know, people like, is it Donald Shoup? I think that's his first name. The like parking guru for everybody that everybody believes in. And, you know, how can we make the spaces become more available? How can we turn over the spaces better? How can we make more revenue for the city? How can we make parking downtown not awful as it is right now? You know, what are the solutions for that? And he came back with, after this study, remember I told you last week we'd reported on, you know, what the survey gave, what answers people were giving, and, you know, we talked with DC about this. And then on Monday at the agenda review, we got the presentation. And if you are a fan of sort of modern theories of parking management in cities, you love this. If you're me, you cringe because it's like everything I hate. But, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit. So 437-1620, the first recommendation is that you have to expand the area in which you have paid parking. So right downtown, you know, the norm, if you looked at a map, and he did show a good map, and you saw the places where there's, you know, paid parking, it's a pretty small footprint of what you consider the downtown area. And he thinks that what you should do is we should turn pretty much all of the downtown area into paid parking, because that's where we have the challenges. Now, that would still leave a lot of free parking, and it would still leave a lot of free parking at certain times, like after midnight, for example, as you heard him say, wanting to expand from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. to midnight. So you wouldn't pay at 1 or 2 or 3 a.m., but you would pay if you go downtown at 8. So the days of parking your car at 6 o'clock, paying, you know, 50 cents for an hour, and then leaving it there for several hours while you, you know, go to Gallery Night or whatever, that would be over. And again, expanding so that you have far fewer free spaces or no metered spaces right downtown. So those are the first two changes. An expanded footprint for paid parking. Number two is until midnight. And then also the third thing would be to change the rate for parking. Right now it's 50 cents by statute an hour, and you get the first half hour free.
On the next slide here, we show what the dollar amount would be if we were aligned with the average to this comp set. And so that's $1.69. However, if you read my report, I'm sort of recommending really to go more incrementally to a dollar. You know, a 300 something percent increase, really not reasonable. So 50 cents to a dollar is certainly within reason if you look at these other comparable cities.
So if you compare other cities and you look at what our parking is really, really cheap when it does cost anything. And of course, the abundance of free parking is unheard of in most cities. And he says, I think that, you know, the justifiable rate based on our average income is $1.69 an hour. That would be too much to ask people to triple the rate. Let's go to $1 an hour. And then this is really important. We're going to put in a new app. And I know, and DC knows, okay, that a new app is not something that anybody wants to hear, because a new app is, you know, we already have two and we don't want to have three, especially when it's a brand new thing. But he says, look, there's a reason. This is the best app that there is. It would be a dramatic change and improvement over what we've got now. And it really allows us to build toward the future. And I'm not giving you my criticism. I'm just kind of, you know, laying out for you the idea that this is far more widely used and it gives us options for the future, which is what we want.
Yes, of course, it's unfortunate what's happened before that we've bounced around on apps. I feel extremely confident moving forward about the app that was recommended that I expect we would move forward with is, if it's not the largest parking app in the United States, I believe it is. I don't want to be misquoted as saying that, but I do know that they have 7.5 million Floridians already with the app on their phone. I think the next closest we were considering had 1 million. They're in New York, they're in Boston, they're in New Orleans. This is an app that chances are, if you travel at any regularity outside of the city, you probably already have on your phone. And the technology enhancements are significantly better than what we have right now. It's not even close.
So, more on that in a second, but he says he understands it'll be frustrating to have another change.
Do I sympathize with another app change? Of course. Should that, in my mind, foster inaction and that we stay with an app that's not as quality? No. I think we've got to go make what the best decision is for the city, and I think that's our first objective, and that's something that we're going to probably move on pretty quickly.
So he wants, that's the first thing, is by the first of the year, is to have the new app instead of the current app. Somebody texts in at 437-1620, is this going to apply to red lots? No, not yet. That's a little longer term. I'll come back to that in a second. So we're going to expand the areas where there's paid parking. Oh, and we're definitely, his plan is to ditch the free parking on Palafox, to make that a paid like anywhere else. Which I understand the argument. I'm not really getting the criticism just yet. I understand the argument that Palafox is, if you started out from scratch, the idea of having free parking for 2 hours on Palafox is insane.
One of the most backward parking things we have is that we have 2 hour parking on Palafox Street.
Yeah.
No city in America
takes
their most busy street and makes it free parking
for
2 hours.
I understand the argument. So we're going to expand the footprint for parking. We're going to expand the hours for parking. We're going to increase the cost for parking. We'll double it. We're going to put in a new app. We're going to eliminate free parking on Palafox. And we are going to keep the kiosks to make sure that people who don't have phones or don't like to use them or they're old. Jen Bear literally asked the question and said people like me who sometimes screw it up, which is understandable, okay? And he says, look, DC Reeves says, look, the visits to downtown are up by 50%. That means that there are far more people coming downtown. And what might have made sense for Palafox in, 95 doesn't make sense for Palafox in 2023. And somehow we got to figure out a way to manage these spaces with the increased demand and create a situation that makes a better experience for everybody. And then the extra money they're going to make, because it is going to go from current revenues, about $600,000, up to almost $3 million a year if the plan works the way they anticipate it to work. They're going to use that to invest in improvements downtown, basically to maintain better parking and to improve the overall experience of downtown for the people who are paying for it. And then the last thing is there's going to be fluctuating price. So, and that's part of why the app change is important, because when there's high demand, as in very few parking spaces downtown, then the price can go up. Now, they didn't set an upward limit, but I got the sense that they were thinking like $2 an hour, which is still very, very cheap by urban standards. And in low demand times, it would fluctuate down, perhaps as low as a quarter an hour. Because their guiding principle is this 85% rule, that you want 85% of the parking spaces to be occupied. If it's 100%, then parking is too cheap and you don't have turnover and therefore you get frustration and people trying to find a parking space. And if it's empty, then the price is too high and nobody wants to park there. And so you're squandering the spaces because nobody's using them and the city's not making any revenue. Employees, it's kind of a difficult one because the turnover in the entertainment sector, is going to be so high that you can't really give them a special pass. But there are areas of downtown, like the top of the Jefferson Street garage, that are free to employees. And there's other places, okay? And so, making it cheap for employees. And also, you can still, he would say, park more in the perimeter, a little bit farther away and walk. What people want to do is they want to show up 5 minutes before their shift and come in, as Lisa Deese, the downtown parking director, said, come in on two wheels 5 minutes before their shift and park right in front of the restaurant. And she said, well, you're going to have to pay a price for that or not be able to do that in the future. All right. So sort of my reaction to all of this, that's what they're trying to do. My reaction to all of this is I understand every bit of it and I hate it. And I'll tell you why I hate it. Because I think the way we have it now is one of the just neat, cool, odd, inviting, welcome to our city sort of things about Pensacola. I love the fact that there's so much free parking. You've heard me many, many times get irritated at every time they take a little section of parking away, how much harder it is to find free parking. I hate to pay for parking. Now, I pay for gas. I pay for insurance. You know, we don't have car payments because we buy our cars. But, you know, I pay a lot of money to operate a car. I don't expect to have to, and I don't like toll roads. Because I figure taxes provide the roads. And I figure taxes make it possible to have streets that have parking on them. When I go to Bayview Park, I don't expect to pay, you know, to park. When I go to a restaurant, I don't expect to pay to park. When I go to Walmart, you know, there's no meters at Walmart, even for the close spaces, you know. And there's a reason for all of that. Granted, that's private property, not public property. But to me, parking is not the kind of thing that should be structured around your socioeconomic status. And making people pay is a way of rewarding the well-off and punishing the people who are cheap or thrifty or less well-off. And you just, nobody has ever successfully, to me, made the argument that the person who can pay for parking is more entitled than the person who is willing to maybe wait a little bit longer or is willing to go and get there early and find the parking before it fills up. You know, if I go downtown, I always get free park. I may have one time, but I'll be honest, it pisses me off when I have to. And now it's going to be harder than ever to be able to do that because, you know, first it was 5 o'clock and that was great. And it was a lot of space that were free. And then it's 7 o'clock, you know, and then you find your places. Okay, fine. Now all of those places are going to go away and it's going to be, you know, 3 or 4 blocks to walk instead of a block or two. And I don't mind the walk. I mean, I'm healthy. I don't mind the air, but the theory of this is that you're going to get people not to stay in the space too long. And I understand that. I do. I understand the theory of turning over the spaces. But the reason you turn them over is because you make people not want to be there. Because they don't want to pay. And so you're going to make some people who don't want to pay go farther away so that other people who are willing to pay are going to take those spots, which seems like rewarding people who want to spend the money, which seems like a kind of bias against people who, you know, want an amenity that's always been free to continue to be free. I make the same argument out at the beach. You know, every once in a while, the commissioners, including Jeff Bergosh, but others, you know, not Robert Bender, at least I don't believe so, say that we ought to have charged parking at Casino Beach. I will tell you that one of the most appealing things about this area, it's a little thing, but it's one of my favorite things, is you can park for free at a lot of places on the beach. You don't have to pay because everywhere else in the world, when you go to California, find me free parking in California near a beach. You can't even find parking, let alone free, because they're dumb. Because the way they built and developed makes it impossible for people to visit the beach. Here, we were smart. We made it so people can visit the beach for free. It's a cool thing. I mean, honestly, like when we pulled up to the first time we went to Casino Beach, we moved to Pensacola, I was like, oh my God, look at all this free parking right by the beach. This is great. This is so wonderful. It's so inviting. And, you know, some people want to come in and screw that up. So I understand the argument. And I understand that there's a whole philosophy shift that they're trying to implement. But for people who already don't like to go downtown for all the other reasons, including the challenges of parking, this is going to make them even less wanting to go downtown. Now, long term in the future, does this set up the city to be able to somehow take over the red lots or get the red lots to be under the same system voluntarily? However that all transpires long term, I do think that's what's going to happen. Will that be better long term? Sure. Are people willing to pay more? Yeah, clearly people are willing to pay in the crazy expensive red lots to deal with a terrible company and run the risk of getting booted. So clearly there is a demand for higher priced parking, you know, if that's all that's available. So the market does seem to be indicating that. I just, you know, again, I think the mayor's going to get his way. I think this is what we're going to have, and I'm going to hate every step of it. And I know there's a lot of people who are with me and a lot of people who are with him, and that's fine. You know, that's how politics works. I respect all of the analysis. I respect all of the thinking. I respect the principles that they're trying to accomplish, and I get, you know, what businesses are trying to get in line. I don't know. I'm attached to the way it is, even though I've only lived here 9 years. I love the way it is, and I don't see the need to make these kinds of changes. And every time we make them, I moan about it. There you go. 524 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
This is Scott Trout of Cordell and Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. For more than 30 years, Cordell and Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
You're all set with your Medicare prescriptions, Mrs. Brown.
This is not just low-cost copays at Walgreens.
I can actually help you set up 90-day refills if you want.
This is having a partner you can trust. Get low-cost copays, 90-day refills, and delivery from your neighborhood Walgreens. This is being independent, together. Walgreens.
Restrictions apply. For details, see walgreens.com/pharmacy.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
I believe virtually everything I read, and I think that is what makes me more of a selective human than someone who doesn't believe anything.
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, irked. I knew this was coming. I knew the parking stuff was coming, but, you know, oh, well, here we go. We're into the conversation. We'll talk to DC Reeves about this coming up later in the day, and maybe he can persuade me to give up my deep attachment to free parking. A couple of texts that have come in at 437-1620. Somebody here says, so when there's high demand for gas during a hurricane and they raise the price, you report that to the state attorney for price gouging, but it's okay when there's a high demand for parking, we raise the price on parking, and that's okay. I would sort of respond to that with maybe what DC would say, which is, yeah, but hotels do this and airlines do this and Uber does this. And, you know, although, you know, imagine a restaurant doing this, like, oh, it's popular now. You know, the meals are double. you wouldn't go to that restaurant, right? So I think there's a pretty strong attachment to, you know, price fixedness and also to low and or free. Somebody else says the change in parking downtown irks me, similar to how FBL took away variable prices for power like Gulf Power had. You know, when you make the deal different, when you make the deal not susceptible, I think they would say, well, this actually is more like the FBL variable rates, because then you can choose, you know, what you want to do with it. But again, a restaurant, like imagine going to a restaurant that said, okay, the burger is $10. Oh, it's 7:30? No, 20. You know, like, you'd never put up with that, but people do put up with that when it comes to parking. David, and that's kind of the idea here. I mean, not $20, but, you know, $1 an hour and then $2 an hour in high demand areas at times. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Oh, I'm sorry. Headlines are in high demand right now. I'm charging double.
Oh, are they? All right. Well, we'll see if we can't get you a little bonus on the way.
Federal officials investigating after two private planes collided on an airport runway in Houston yesterday. The Federal Aviation Administration says a twin-engine plane was departing without permission. Apparently, it ran into another twin-engine Cessna that was landing. Now, the good thing is there's no injuries reported. FAA and National Transportation Safety Board investigating this. Apparently, President Biden won't be on the ballot in the New Hampshire primary next year. That move was expected by some due to the Democratic Party trying to make South Carolina the first state in the nation to hold a Democratic primary instead of New Hampshire.
Well, golly, he's probably not going to get the nomination then.
Probably not.
David, thanks so much for the update.
Anytime.
529 on News Radio 92.3. Not to make you like spill your coffee this morning or anything, but I will tell you there's another big thing on the way, and it's another thing by Mayor Reeves. But this one I support. He wants red light cameras like Gulf Breeze has. This is something that goes back to when he was Pensacola Police Chief Tommy Leiter. Big advocate for this. He then moved on to the sheriff's office, of course, and The basic problem is that we have crashes and people running red lights, and it's very, very bad at certain intersections, and they're going to start doing that. I'm 100% in support of this. I think that, you know, if you don't like red light cameras, don't run red lights. I mean, it's really that simple. And, you know, Gulf Breeze is safe and Pensacola is not. And one of the most, as Tommy Letter always said, one of the most preventable things that you can do is prevent people from hurting other people and damaging their property through red light running and traffic mishaps. That's why, you know, speed enforcement, though you hate it, makes the world safer. And, you know, red light cameras make the world safer. So that's another one. Just in case you didn't have enough to bother you, because I know that's one where, like, oh, people hate it. I get it. I do. But, you know, my attitude towards that one is I'm very much in support of it. Oh, and the Republicans might have a speaker today. I am not kicking at that football. We got a guy who got a unanimous support last night. But the last guy who got, you know, support enough to get it, he lasted, what, 4 hours? And then we undid that. So we'll see. We'll see. What do you have coming up, David?
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Republicans successfully Monday chose a new House Speaker nominee. Louisiana's Mike Johnson is the fourth pick in 3 days.
Democracy is messy sometimes, but it is our system. This conference that you see, this House Republican majority is united.
And the full House could vote today on the nominee. Meanwhile, Israel's launched over 400 airstrikes on Gaza in the last 24 hours, claimed to have killed several Hamas commanders. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel's ground invasion of Gaza will happen soon. Airstrikes in southern Lebanon. The Israeli Defense Force claims they took out a terrorist squad trying to fire anti-tank missiles into northern Israel. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies, 66 degrees in Pensacola, and it's back to the drawing board for Congressional Republicans. Party whip Tom Emmer bowed out of the House Speaker race just hours after being nominated. Speaking on his Firebrand podcast this week, Congressman Matt Gaetz hinted that it might be difficult for Emmer to garner support from more conservative members of the conference.
He too voted for the debt limit deal. So if you're viewing that as dispositive as I am, if you're viewing that as critical to where the House of Representatives is right now, it's quite the tell Tom Emmer was a yes vote on the bad McCarthy debt limit deal.
And Gaetz also pointed to what he called the Trump element, saying Emmer and Trump had their differences in the past. Yesterday, Trump posted on Truth Social that voting for Emmer would be a mistake. Well, red light cameras could be a thing in Pensacola's future. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city recently completed a survey on intersections. Reeves says that three intersections in particular are troublesome: 9th Avenue and Bayou Boulevard, 9th and Airport, and Fairfield Drive and Davis Highway.
We looked at 10 years of traffic data and said, where do we have all these crashes happening? So then we go and get even more technology to show in a 16-hour period how many people are running red lights, which was alarming.
And Reeves says it's too soon to say right now when or if a red light camera program will be implemented, but he says if one is, the goal would be to save lives, not to ruin somebody's day by writing a ticket. Two arrests were made after a Facebook dating match gone wrong a couple of weeks ago.
About 10 days ago or so, we had a report that a man had befriended a woman on some sort of a Facebook or a social media app, a dating app, and then he went actually to that house and had dinner, and then he went to, you know, they shared, you know, moments, I guess. And then ultimately, she and another friend of hers just attacked him. According to the victim, attacked him for no reason.
And Sheriff Chip Simmons there, he says the man and or the woman and her male friend attacked the man, beat him, cut his throat. The two then threw him off of a bridge into the Escambia River. Luckily, that man was able to survive and make it to land. He got help from a boater and was able to report the whole thing to police. Sheriff Chip Simmons called the man surviving a miracle. And both 25-year-old Natalie Fonseca and 31-year-old Nafis Reynolds are now charged with attempted homicide as well as other charges. Florida suing a social media giant. Attorney General Ashley Moody announcing yesterday that she's suing Meta. She says they knowingly designed and deployed harmful features on Instagram and other platforms that purposefully addict children and teens. All the while, Meta was allegedly falsely assuring the public that young users were safe. Moody says Meta's actions violated state and federal law and contributed to a nationwide youth mental health crisis. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a beautiful day today with temperatures near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Beautiful weather continues into Friday. Sunny skies, high near 82. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 66 degrees in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 62 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why, at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pencil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, if you are getting ready to buy that next vehicle, or, you know, maybe you're not ready, maybe you're kind of like pre-ready. Because, you know, a lot of decisions, right, it takes a little bit of time to warm up to it. And if you're like me, you're always reluctant to make the choice to have to engage in the process and think about it and, you know, spend the money or whatever that case may be. And I understand. Again, I'm the same way. But this is the time when you go to Frontier because it's, you know, when you're not hungry, so to speak, but you're kind of thinking about it, right? That's when you go. It's not, you don't want to go looking for the replacement car when, like, you just had a wreck or you just, you know, like that car broke down or, you know, like you want to be thinking ahead about it. So you go do your research before you need to buy. And in our case, I know that's what we did 6 months before we really needed to replace our van. We went looking. Now, it turned out in our case that we found exactly the car we were looking for, got a great price on it, wound up buying it 6 months before we thought we were going to. But it was the right decision. And that's all I'm saying is go get your information. Because if you got a car, especially a car that's kind of like you're starting to put more money into it, you know, every year than you really want to, and it's time to replace it, that's when you go to Frontier to get your information and compare and see which one do you want to replace it with. And then when the time comes, you can make a good informed decision, not because, oh my gosh, I got to figure all this out all of a sudden. Frontier Motors, a great source for almost new, 1-, 2-, 3-year-old cars, almost new cars, serving Pensacola for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday we had a good chance to talk to our good friend, Sheriff of Escambia County, Chip Simmons. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. So first question before we get to any, you know, real business, how you doing after Saturday?
I'm doing remarkably well.
Kickball. Have you recovered fully yet?
No, I did. I think we had, obviously we had a good time. We played five innings. I think next time we have to go seven.
Did we play on softball dimensions last time? It seemed like this was a long way to run to get to first base. Like it was a full baseball. It seems like we played a shorter field last time, like Little League
or
field
you're
or something.
Older in the bases.
No.
Yeah, but people don't understand how long it is to first base and second.
Well,
third,
and not, these people are not all sprinters. Let's say.
No. Yeah, I was there. I'm fully aware. We are not all sprinters.
It's a kick and walk contest, okay? So
you have opportunities to get people out.
That's right.
And that hence the 1-0 score after dinner.
It was a very low. And that one was scored by who was it on your side?
Well, apparently someone fast and someone athletic and
Alex Andrade?
No. You know full well who scored that run.
Of course, you stole second in a marginal call, I'd say.
Okay, well, those who are listening understand that if you round first base, you can go to second when the ball gets to the pitcher. That's
I'm just saying.
Basic softball.
There's always a little controversy in this
pitch,
game.
All the
no,
same
you
rules.
Were with you. You were right. I mean, it was crafty but legal.
Well, and I, yes,
crafty
it was,
but legal,
it was,
which is what I expect from a sheriff. Crafty but legal. Yeah. All right, so congratulations on the big win, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm still sore. Yesterday, my legs felt like, if your legs could throw up, that's what they wanted to do. They were just not happy with me all day yesterday.
Well, feed them Gatorade.
Yeah, very good. Electrolytes. It's what plants crave. Okay, so for serious things now, you have made an arrest for a man who had been wanted for a shooting back in May at a Days Inn, Devon Smith. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Back in May, if people recall. 28-year-old Devin Smith just walked into the Days Inn, which is at Lavelle Way. Our understanding was at the time was that both of them just happened to be checked into
the hotel. I remember this case. This is the one over by the Cracker Barrel, right?
That's
this
correct.
Is, and they were kind of like in the middle of the foyer, and one saw the other one, and they
one
were both armed
in or
whatever.
Checking out, and then they had a beef, longstanding beef, and Devin Smith just pulled a firearm and shot and killed Jabbar Franklin. Our guys, our detectives and our warrant section did not give up. They've been looking for him since May, and we were finally able to place him under arrest, and he will face these charges.
Good. Yeah, you and I talk so many times about, there's domestic violence incidents, and then there's like gang/drug/money-related incidents. And what I often think about those ones is, I think about it the wrong way, but I don't think I'm the only one who thinks this way, is if they kind of keep it to themselves, that's still bad. We need to follow up and prosecute and all that. But, when you got cars driving through other cars at an intersection at like Old Chemstrand and 9 Mile, something happened a couple of years ago, and banging through civilians, or a shooting at W Street and Brent, which is all, by a bunch of other civilians, you're like, what? And the Days Inn thing, in the lobby of a hotel, just.
Yeah, what we call that, it spills over into areas where, the public traverses. And
right.
I think that most of it, like you talked about, it, because it happens like you're doing drug deals in a room somewhere or often in a wooded path. I think those are where majority of these crimes take place, or in someone's home, obviously.
Right.
But whenever it happens like that, it really draws people's attention to it. So I'm proud of the effort of the sheriff's deputies and able to take him into custody. And I guess we'll soon see a trial.
Absolutely. We also had a case where you had a man and woman who you guys arrested. This is a pretty awful incident that stemmed from a Facebook dating relationship that started, right? Like a Facebook dating app or something?
Yeah, we just made this arrest just yesterday afternoon before I left for the day. About 10 days ago or so, we had a report that a man had befriended a woman on some sort of a Facebook or a social media app, a dating app. And then he went actually to that house and had dinner, and then he went to, they shared, moments, I guess. And then ultimately she and another friend of hers just attacked him, according to the victim, attacked him for no reason, beat him about his head and his body, and then actually took a knife and cut his throat. And then they right there off of 9 Mile Road, when the bridge going into over Escambia River, this heads towards Pace. They threw him over that roadway into the water. Fortunately, he survived the fall and he survived the cut. And then he walked on to shore, and then he actually contacted a deputy. I was able to identify the people that did it, and we were able to arrest yesterday a Natalie Fonseca and a Nafis Reynolds. So Natalie Fonseca and Nafis Reynolds are now charged with attempted homicide.
Now, what were they trying to accomplish, or was it just an act of we're going to do evil because we can do evil? Or
Yeah, it appears to be robbery. I think they stole his car as well.
I just can't believe this guy. I mean, you know, gets beat up, throat cut, thrown off a bridge. That alone could kill you. Into the water or on the land, either way, is not good. And manages to get back to land and survives and identifies his assailants. That's amazing.
I would say it's a miracle.
Yeah.
You know, that he survived, again, the beating, the cutting, the drop, the water, all of that sort of thing. So we're obviously happy that we're able to arrest those who are responsible and so that they can't do this again.
So apparently the new tool that you need if you're a thief is a can opener. An industrial strength can opener for the Family Dollar on Palafox.
Yeah, I don't know if it was an industrial strength can opener.
I mean, who cuts through corrugated metal to get into a? I mean, I guess that's what happened, right?
A determined thief,
I guess.
My understanding was they used some sort of a cutting tool, a cordless cutting tool. I don't know if it was a can opener, but it makes for a good visual, right?
Yeah.
My understanding is that they workers came to work that morning and the power was out and there was insulation on the ground. And
this is Sunday morning, the night after Saturday night, right?
Okay. Right. And light coming from an area where light typically doesn't come through, shines through the back wall. And they discovered that someone had cut through the wall, cut into the safe, cut into the ATM, and stole what could be stolen.
And, I mean, we don't know, but they got a lot, I assume.
Well, I know. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're not saying because that's part of identifying
the undisclosed amount of cash. Yeah.
And by the way, maybe we say this too often, but it's still worth repeating. A lot of times, you don't disclose information about a crime because that's how you separate real witnesses from lying witnesses. That's how you identify who's really done something, who has credible information. The more you put out in the public, the less of that ability you retain, right?
Yeah, it's part of how we corroborate information from witnesses, again, and obviously from suspects,
right?
Or co-suspects.
So what's our theory at this point? Did they not? I guess they didn't have cameras in the back, or we don't know, or
yeah, we were looking at those cameras yesterday, trying to figure out what we can glean from them.
Yeah.
Our understanding is that about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we had an attempted burglary of a Family Dollar. And I think the city of Pensacola actually had a burglary of their Family Dollar, one of their Family Dollars. And I believe there's one in Mobile. So we're looking at the possibility of this being some sort of
a pattern,
a traveling group or a group that targets Family Dollars, either because they used to work at a Family Dollar. They know, because the buildings typically are the same.
Yeah.
They build them identical. And they know where they're what they're looking for. I guess it wasn't potentially they even know what kind of safes they use. So we're looking at the possibility of that and sharing information with other local and regional law enforcement agencies.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, keep up the good work, I suppose. One of the things I had wanted to ask you about, this is a proposed law, and I kind of been asking, like I think I'd ask Mike Wood about this from PPD, but there's a law proposed in Tallahassee that the ballot boxes would all need law enforcement accompaniment from the supervisor of elections office to the polling place during the time the polls are open, and is how I read it, and then also back from the polling place back to the supervisor of elections. So kind of like, you know, box sitters, so to speak, that would require law enforcement. I'm just curious to get, because it seems like the logistics on that would be a lot. Like, that's a lot of manpower.
That does sound like a lot. We're all about election integrity. We're all about, obviously, keeping things safe and keeping things secure. And we work very well with the supervisor of election. David Stafford and I will talk all the time about what we can do to help them out. We are obviously at the supervisor of elections office on the night of the elections. And typically anything that they need, we provide. I haven't seen the bill, so I'd have to look at, you know, exactly what the requirements are and what we needed for.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of things involving election integrity, before it gets to the ballot box, what gets into the ballot box, in addition to, I guess, getting, I'm not sure of any situation where someone has hijacked a ballot box on the
right.
way
well,
to
that was my thought. It's like, what problem is this solving exactly other than a kind of a sense of security?
Yeah, I would certainly put some sort of a air tag or something on that box so you know, and have more than one person. And now we have escorted them to the, to the supervisor election before. We've done that, especially from a large distance or a large ballot box. If there's any issue at all, we certainly are willing to do that. Again, I just have to take a look at that bill and see what requirements.
And I was just curious if that would be your first reaction as part of the, oh, wow, that's a lot of people. I mean, you know, if the law is the law, you're going to do what you have to do, but, you know, that would be taxing, it would seem to me. Last thing, and I asked this a little bit in jest, okay, so I know you'll take it that way, but I was thinking about how you do the Blazer Academy.
Right.
Which is like to teach basic life and social skills and to mentor and to give advice and to cultivate an air of expectation and professionalism. And I was wondering if you had considered maybe putting on a Blazer Academy for elected officials.
There's only so much a Blazer can do. I'm joking. It's a joke.
We have some that run very well, and we have others. and you know, as you and I were talking about this a little bit in the break, that I don't think we're all that weird. I think if you go around the country, other places have highly dysfunctional elected bodies and highly functional elected bodies. I don't know why we seem to get the more of the one than the other, but, you know, everybody's got a range. Is that fair?
I think that it's fair. Yes, I'll go with that.
It's so careful. I love it. Oh, man. Sheriff Chip Simmons. That's Cami County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir. As always, thank you for the time. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you again. And I hope I'm recovered by next year to play kickball again. It was a great. By the way, it's a really fun event. I had people tell me that had shown up. They said, "God, I wish more people would come to see it because it's just fun to watch."
Well, I think we're not there to make money. We're not raffling anything off. We're just there so people can have an opportunity to come.
I had
in
side bets with Salzman.
And you may have. I don't know.
I did not.
I'm not aware of that. But it is a fun event. The weather was wonderful, and we just want people to know that if they want to, they can come on out. They can bring their kids, and at the end of the game, as you were there.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, having the kids out there. That was neat.
Around. And what a great venue.
Yeah, it really is. Wahoo Stadium is a treasure. It really is. Sheriff, as always, thank you, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Yeah, absolutely. 551 on News Radio 92.3, side bet with Salzman. I'm not aware of that. That's so funny. By the way, I don't know if you have seen this story. We were the first ones to report it, and then, you know, everybody else has picked up on it. And rightly so. I mean, sometimes they get stuff first, sometimes we do. But this guy that got, you know, the report is that they tried to cut his throat, like, took turns doing it. My God. And then threw him off of Highway 90, and then he swam to shore, and, you know, and then he rested there and fell asleep. And then, WR had a really good write-up on this. And then, a fisherman woke him up the next morning and brought him up to shore. You know, he was like in the shallows. And then he started walking from there over to the Tom Thumb, the Cumberland Farms on North Davis, which is a ways. And then he was hospitalized for several days. I mean, good Lord. Wow, what a story. And I don't know if you saw the picture of these two. You know, she kind of looks like, she got like dark hair with, you know, she, I don't know, maybe Hispanic. I'm not quite sure if she's white or Hispanic, but somewhere in that vicinity. And, she's got short hair like cornrows and then bright blue extensions on top of that. And he's, I think, kind of a light-skinned black guy. And his hair is what I can only describe as electrical socket chic. I mean, it just looks like, you know, it's going all over the place. And man, you just talk about the evil in people. Alleged. I mean, they haven't been convicted or anything like that, but this incident is just unbelievable. And thank goodness he survived, right? 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and this, you know, the situation you might be in is, you know, you're going to buy, but you're just not quite sure when to do it because you waited. You know, you wish you could go back 3 years, right? Well, you can't. That's not how that works. But also, you might be like a renter and you're thinking about your first home. You know, or you live in your parents, you know, and you're thinking about that first home. Okay, whatever the case is, call Christina Leavenworth. She's an expert. She will give you great advice. She and her entire team at Leavenworth Realty, they're fantastic. And, you know, one of the things that she'll do is if she thinks that it doesn't make sense for you, she'll tell you that. It's kind of rare, I think, for a real estate agent, but she is certainly willing because I know she's told other people that same thing. I mean, not like that's her favorite thing to tell people, but just, you know, if that's in the range, you know, it's like when you go to the mechanic and they're like, yeah, you don't need to do this for 6 months. And you're like, okay, cool. You know, you can trust that mechanic, right? Same thing. If you can, you know, real estate agent who's willing to tell you, no, not now, or no, not there, or no, not in this price range. Like those homes are overpriced, but these homes over here might be a better fit for you. And that market is going up, you know, because like, the Gulf Breeze $400,000 market might be going up while the Pace $600,000 market might be going down. I mean, who knows? Okay, that's the point. It's not just a thing. The market is all these different things, and understanding that is their wheelhouse. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Only a few days remain for the biggest and best fair, the Pensacola Interstate Fair. Free exhibits, fun, food, games, and more. Big and fast rides to thrill you. Free shows by Below Alabama, Rocky and the Rollers, Whiteside Rock Ensemble, Performing Journey, and Mark Chestnut. Plus Circumaseo, the Livestock Auction, Ladies Day, Mana Food Drive Discount Day, Seniors Day, Kids Day, $2 Ride Day, Midnight Madness, and Last Blast Family Day. The Pensacola Interstate Fair, where memories are made.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 9 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show talking about Suited Up, what it is, and how it benefits PSE students. Also up for discussion, CTE Month, what it is and its benefits, the Handshake Job Board, job fairs and internships, and so much more. This Friday at 9 to the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Warriors, come out to play!
Mother, mother, how's the family? I'm just calling.
Good morning, 5:56, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. You know, I had never seen Warriors. I never had seen that movie until this weekend, or maybe the weekend before last weekend, whatever. And I finally watched it, and I'm like, that's a really interesting, super campy, terrible, awesome movie. I mean, just really, it's the most ridiculous, amazing. I'm surprised it ever got made. It just, you know, like, what a wild, crazy movie. I understand why people love it, and it's culty and all of that. So, 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The top provider of humanitarian aid in the Gaza Strip says it'll have to cease operations by the end of the day if they aren't able to get more fuel. The UN Relief and Work Agency said without additional fuel, they won't be able to distribute any more incoming aid entering Gaza. Former President Trump's civil fraud trial continuing today in New York City. Yesterday, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen gave testimony against his former boss. And negotiations between striking Hollywood actors and the big studios resumed today. SAG, after telling its union members in an email yesterday that the studio CEOs came back to the table after more than 100 days of the actors' strike.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. A couple of just notes about what's going on in the Middle East. Note number one is that we are prepping potentially for a mass evacuation of Americans from the region. And in case you just weren't aware, I wasn't aware that it was this many. If you want to take a stab at how many U.S. citizens there are in Israel, just any guess.
5,000?
600,000.
I was way off.
Yeah, so was I. I would have probably gone a little higher than you went, maybe like 20 or 30, but 600,000 U.S. citizens in Israel alone. How many in Lebanon? You know, Lebanon. How many, if you want to take a stab there? Gosh,
man, I have no idea. I know, now.
You're gunshot.
I'm afraid.
86,000.
Yeah. 86,000. Wow.
There are more people in Lebanon that are U.S. citizens than the city of Pensacola, which is 55,000 residents. Isn't that crazy to imagine? So That's a worst-case scenario, is a full-scale evacuation. But U.S. official talking to the, I think this is the Washington Post, said that it would be irresponsible not to have a plan in case that's what needs to happen. Maybe it's the Jerusalem Post. I don't know, because they were also quoted later in the story. Hamas fighters have said their commanders are offering rewards for bringing hostages of, you get $10,000 in an apartment if you can get an Israeli hostage back to Gaza. Just to, they've learned this from interrogations, just to kind of, you know, understand the terrain a little bit. And we are deploying defense units from three different bases that are anti-missile, you know, anti-rocket defenses. We got Patriot and TADS batteries are coming over there.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.